The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We'll have Kyle Dodd on board today. Kyle Dodd, ASU basketball color analyst. Arizona State was awful last night. I don't know what is going on with Bobby Hurley's team. I really don't. They could beat Washington one night. They could beat Kansas. They could lose to Princeton. They could just fall flat on their face against Washington State. And last night at Colorado, they were awful. We'll have Good Eat the Movies today. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film Critic, the national brand that is Bill Goodykoontz. We're going to talk about Death Day to You, Kristen Sinema's SNL spoof, and the AAF, and much, much more. That will be with Goody at the Movies. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that means with life insurance, maybe annuities. I'm a part of the Sagicor family. They came on board here at Sports 360 about a year and a half ago. I started looking deeper at them, and I went and got my license. I actually sit with people. I sat with someone yesterday morning. We were talking about business over here and a company that's very, very interested in us. And he just said, so tell me more about Sagicor. So we talked for, I don't know, a good 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And he wants me to follow up with some of his employees just on where they are in life. I have no problem doing that. I have no problem looking at somebody in the eye and saying, do you have it all put together? Do you have it all figured out? If you're going to say, well, I'll just get around to it, I guess you know the day that your days are up, right? You have it all figured out. It's not trying to scare anybody. It's just a fact. Protect what matters most, especially on this Valentine's Day. And you can do it through life insurance. Log on to Sagicor now. That is Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Last night, I was trying to sit through the Suns game to witness history, or at least tying history, and I gave up on them. I tried to sit through Arizona State, and I gave up on them. And I found myself, it's a time where pitchers and catchers report, but if it's not important enough for Zach Greinke to be there on opening day of spring training, which evidently it's not, he asked for a few extra days before he reports, there may be something personal going on that I am not aware of, that the Diamondbacks said, yes, you need to tend to family matters. I don't know. I just kind of like to see everybody together at the same time. Case Keenum came into my wheelhouse yesterday afternoon. And you're like, wow, that's a big left turn. Well, that's the most interesting thing to talk about today in sports, other than me sitting here and pounding away on the Suns again and pounding away on Arizona State basketball again. And U of A is playing tonight. And I don't know how many more games Sean Miller can possibly have. I really don't. But Case Keenum, so the Cardinals are looking at Case Keenum. This comes from the agent world, agents that I talk to or the reach out and say, you better take a look at Case Keenum. We hear that his next destination is Arizona. And you're wondering, well, they already have Josh Rosen at quarterback. Yeah, they do. But it's been this backup quarterback rotation for, it feels like, a long, long time. And there was the Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton run for a bit. But Josh Rosen being backed up by Case Keenum in an offense that is run by Cliff Kingsbury, you have to connect the dots on this. So Case Keenum was with Cliff Kingsbury in college at the University of Houston. Cliff Kingsbury was his quarterback coach and the co-offensive coordinator at Houston. Ironically, the head coach at that time was Kevin Sumlin. Case Keenum did well at Minnesota, went to Denver, didn't work out. That's why the Broncos are now getting Joe Flacco, if you're playing rotating quarterbacks. Is this a good move or bad move if, in fact, the Cardinals do go down this path and make it officially happen? There could be some salary cap implications on this, extending his deal out so it's not a cap hit. This is all on the business side of the Cardinals. Cardinals are really becoming interesting, and we knew that it was going to be that here in the offseason. They made a hire that has most people scratching their heads. Not everybody, but most. They have the number one pick. They have a quarterback who is in place that they spent a 10th overall pick on. The head coach said earlier this week, yeah, we're not going to go down that path. Josh Rosen is our guy, when the Kyler Murray discussion came up. In fact, Eric, you were there at the Cardinals for all of this. So it was it a definitive, guys, we're not going to use the number one overall pick on Kyler Murray or any quarterback? Or was it just, Josh is our guy? You know, there's different contexts.
He mentioned Kyler Murray, and then he mentioned Josh Rosen. So to me, that pretty much squashes. It wasn't one of those vague, like, yeah, we're not really interested in Kyler Murray, but we're keeping our options open.
Or we're going to take the best player available.
We're going to take the best player available.
Yeah,
you know, like,
love that one.
One thing I like about Coach Kingsbury is he doesn't really smokescreen a lot of stuff. It's not just basically he seems, at least from his time at Texas Tech and now the little time that I've been around him with the Cardinals, he knew that question was coming. It was probably the third question that was asked at the little media gathering, because I've been out there the last 2 days.
Yeah,
they introduced the staff in sort of like a round table media day type thing that had all the defensive assistants 2 days ago and the offensive assistants yesterday.
But so he's prepped on this stuff. I mean,
of
the
course.
Cardinals PR sits
him
down and says, you're going to get asked about this. This is how you need to answer it. Or I've never been in those, but it's very obvious when people are prepped, and they should be prepped.
And I think it's good that Kyler Murray has made it official that he's going to be playing football, because there's probably a team or two out there that says, man, we're intrigued. We're so intrigued that we'd really like to get up to, I don't know, the top one pick to try to get him.
No, that's right.
And I think you and I are in the same lane where if we're the Cardinals, let's trade down, let's add pieces.
Nick Bosa doesn't do it for me.
He's good. He's going to be a very good player.
Yeah.
But it's not like the Cardinals just have one need.
Right. And I think it's fair because the combine is coming up. It's in 2 weeks. And it's one of those deals where being in the space of having a number one overall pick, if you sit on it and you just take Bosa and he gets hurt in training camp, everybody's going to throw their arms up in the air and say, what happened here? You missed out on a golden opportunity.
And, you know, his brother's been hurt, and the younger brother, Bosa, missed most of the season, got hurt early in the year, and just basically said, yeah, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going to get ready for the NFL draft.
Right.
So there are those red flags.
Sure. And yet if they trade down and Bosa goes crazy, or if somebody trades up, because what typically happens, typically in drafts, is the couple weeks beforehand, all these teams that want a quarterback start throwing it out there and saying, yeah, how about this and how about that? And if I'm Steve Keim, I take it all the way down to April 24th. I really do. Unless you're just completely overwhelmed here in the next few months. And it would be fun for us sitting here, and if Steve Keim decided on April 1st to trade away the number one overall pick, to say, what are you doing and what direction are you going to go? But, you know, Eric, it's more than that. Like the Antonio Brown stuff, when Patrick Peterson's texting him and putting out there on Twitter that, hey, come and look out here at us.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. But
I can't see that happening, but what's Patrick Peterson's motive in that one? If you already have Larry and you have Christian,
right?
What's Patrick's motive to say, hey, come out here?
Well, they need stars. I mean, they need talent. They have some talent, but you can never have enough talent. And I just think Antonio Brown would probably look at the Cardinals and be like, yeah, you were 3-13 last year, and you have an entirely new staff, and you have a second year quarterback. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
And I'd look at Antonio Brown and say you're closer to 30 than you are 25.
No doubt.
And you've been a pain in the rear here the last few years. There's never been a diva out here at wide receiver that I've – well, Michael Floyd was a little diva.
He was.
Yeah, that's true. The forgettable first round.
David Boston Floyd. Back in the day.
David Boston
was
a diva, total
but
diva.
That was
yeah.
a while ago.
But usually, you know, you're going to have the wide – like OBJ is available. Do I want OBJ here? OBJ is great. Marketing gets people excited. But it's still, there's always something going on off the field or after games rather than show up, do your thing.
Well, and look at the two receivers that you mentioned. I mean, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. Talk about two guys that just show up and go to work every day and keep their mouth shut. Those are two pretty good examples.
Well, so. And when Larry goes, if
in
you and
5 years,
yeah,
right?
Right. When you and I are on the wrong side of the grass and he's still playing, is Christian going to turn into a different type of person? Is his personality going to be like, get me the damn ball, using a Keyshawn line? I don't know. I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
I wouldn't think so, but you just don't know on these guys. You know, the Cardinals are today, and you guys know how I am about this. I hate doing shows where all you do is talk about the NFL and the Cardinals, but the stuff about Case Keenum to me is really interesting. You've got to rebuild this roster. And Eric's been out there the last few days, so he's been around the coaches, so there's some stuff there. Yeah, I got to talk about the Suns again because it is laughable. Like yesterday, I was sitting with a TV executive in their office, and we're talking about a couple things in town. And this person asked me, so what's your take on the Suns? And I said, you can't put me on the air right now about it, because I know that there's media partnerships that the Suns have. Thus, if I say what I truly believe about the Suns rather than, well, they're really just in rebuilding, and man, DeAndre Ayton's making great strides, I think they're heading in the right direction, that's not true. You know, it's just not. When Josh Jackson has 5 fouls in 15 minutes last night, and I don't care what the refs called, they called it, okay? Devin Booker is not a superstar player. He's a second or third complementary player. Last night, Devin Booker was 2 of 10. 2 of 10 and had 3 turnovers in 33 minutes last night. It's their 15th straight loss. They've tied the worst mark in the history of the franchise. Thank God they have there's actually a team worse than the Suns, Cleveland. And that's who the Suns play first next week when they get back from the All-Star break. First. And, you know, going to Cleveland in the dead of winter on the first game of the All-Star break, I think is the recipe that adds up to getting blown out by 30. I can't see this group saying collectively, guys, we've got to pull ourselves together. You know, Devin last week said, you know, losing has become acceptable here and that's unacceptable. That's fine to take that stance. But the roster that they've put around him, are you kidding me? There's still not a true point guard out here. I don't care the last move that they made with Miami. Doesn't matter. Lou Williams last night, and when you're promoting the Clippers, have Lou Williams, watch Lou Williams and the Clippers. You know there's problems. The Clippers aren't great. But he had 30 and 10 assists in less than 25 minutes last night, which was like one of these Elias Sports Bureau quickest ever numbers. Everything around the team is awful. They lost last night 134 to 107. Every game, they're giving up 30 a quarter on minimum. So their defense stinks. And then Arizona State, and we're going to talk to Kyle Dodd here in a minute. We're going to go up to Boulder. They're about ready to head on the bus to get out of town, and they should. They lost by 4 last night. I tried watching it, and it's the same old nonsense. They miss close shots. They make poor decisions with the basketball. And I couldn't watch the end of it. I'm not going to do that. And for those of us that are college basketball fans, I don't know if March is going to be anything special this year. I mean, I really worry about Dan Majerle and his health over there, trying to get up and down the floor with GCU and what's going on. I do. I think Sean's going to get fired at U of A. This can't continue at U of A. They just can't. There's so much stuff there. And for the people, they're like, oh, you're hating on U of A. No, I'm not. You tell me, is your program acceptable? No. Well, Nico Mannion's going to save the day. Nico Mannion may want to look at his situation and say, and ASU, is it a Bobby issue? I don't know. If a coach can't get his team, and I'm raising this not as a criticism of Bobby. This is a question, not a criticism. If a coach can't get his team figured out, is it you don't have a true point guard? Is Remy Martin just not going to? And if I hear Remy Martin is he's a sophomore. Well, no, he's actually closer to being a junior, if you think about it. It's just very discouraging to see a team that looks so good one day, and then the next day they look awful. And so there's something internal that's not right. That's the only way to put it. Not going to blame refs. I hate that stuff. That's minor league market 280. It's the ref's fault. It doesn't work with me. And the Diamondbacks pitchers and catchers reported for their first workout. So their first spring training game is February 23rd. I'm interested. I don't know about you, with all their big names leaving. It's a prove it year. It really is. It's a prove it season. Okay, you guys want to step forward and say we have to move on from Paul and from AJ? And yeah, I get that. That's what players are going to say. What else are they going to say? Now go do it. Kyle Dodd's next. Good at the Movies a little bit later. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thankfully, last night I had a remote in my hand. I was able to turn off what was going on in Boulder. This is not a day where I'm very happy about Arizona State basketball. If you want me to sit here and say it's the referees' fault that they've played like this all season long, you're looking at the wrong show. You're listening to the wrong show. It has nothing to do with them losing again last night. This is a team that plays very high and a team that plays very low. Why that is, I wish I had an explanation. So, because I don't, I know Kyle Dodd does. Arizona State Sun Devil color analyst on the radio side with Tim Healy. He joins us. You're still in Boulder, right?
Yep, getting on the bus in about 5 minutes, heading to the airport and going to Salt Lake.
So. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the forum here. What is wrong with this team?
I think the reality kind of hit me last night, I guess I should say. This is a team that was picked sixth in the league for a reason. I think they're young still. Not quite sure who the leader is. It could be Remy, but, still a sophomore. Zylan, obviously, is a leader, but in his first year playing with the program, lost a lot of scoring, lost a lot of shooting. And I think, just watching last night, it came down to making shots. I mean, they guarded well enough in stretches to get a road win. We all know how hard it is to win on the road. The Pac-12, horribly officiated game last night, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you didn't play well enough to win. You didn't make enough shots to win. So I think that's what you see with this ASU team. When they got guys like Rob Edwards, who's knocking down shots, or Tay Cherry or someone else, they play a little bit different brand of basketball than they did last night.
Yeah, I mean, the referee, and you and I could say that at every game. So I'm throwing
every game, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to throw that out the window. I did not stick to the end because I had seen enough where it's like, even if they do win, it's not pretty. Everything is hard for this team. And I understand what you're saying about the youth, but at some point, Remy Martin is almost a junior. Yes, he is a sophomore in standing. But, he's been through the road trips before. And I'm not going to sit here and just hammer away on him. Cherry's a freshman who looks like sometimes he's still in high school, how he acts during timeouts, from my view, when I see him at games. I guess if I could sit here and pound away on him, I'd rather you solve this. Is this a mid-season team starting to turn the corner towards the Pac-12 tournament, and they're going to get it figured out? Or is this just how it's going to be? They're going to go to the Pac-12 tournament. They're going to go to the NIT in a season where they beat Kansas and Mississippi State and U of A.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all wondering which team it is. I thought they were playing some good basketball, honestly, over the 5-6 weeks outside of the Washington State game. And U of A, they didn't play all that well, but that was a rivalry game, and you got the win, so it doesn't matter. But, just last night wasn't – kind of went back to some of the stretches and the non-conference where they didn't play well, when they just missed so many bunnies and so many shots at the rim that they really didn't give themselves the opportunity to win the basketball game.
Is this a culture thing? Is it a Bobby thing, Kyle?
I think at some point, like you said, some of these guys got to grow up a little bit. And I mean, obviously, we got some horses that we've never had. We got some talent that we've never had.
Mm-hmm.
The program's done some things that we've never done. That being said, I think, the losses like Washington State do you more harm than the big wins like beating Washington, help you. So I think the lows are kind of outweighing the highs right now. And I just think they got to figure out a way to sustain. And, Bobby told these guys at shoot around yesterday, hey, this is the time of year where you have to win games in a row.
Right.
In the Pac-12 tournament, in the NCAA tournament, and whatever tournament. You have to win games in a row or you go home. So trying to, sustain and put together, a winning streak is what's kind of they're after. And it's just always been tough on the road for the Sun Devils.
We're talking with Kyle Dodd, ASU analyst, basketball analyst on the road with ASU, getting ready to move on to Utah after losing last night by 4. They were outscored 38-20 in the post, in the paint, rather. So is there enough? And some of those shots, in fairness, Romello White had a couple, just like you said earlier, bunnies, some real close looks that just didn't fall. So they're executing all the way to the end, which is fixable, in my opinion. Or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just got to get to a point where these guys, those are toughness shots. Those are shots that you got to finish through contact. You got to find a way to get buckets there. And the funny thing is, Bobby is one of those guys that I've never seen a coach that does as much skill work as much creative finishes, at the rim, and every practice, every shoot around, every time they're in the gym, they work on that kind of stuff. And I just think that right now with them, it's almost a mental thing. It's like the free throws. It's,
yeah,
you know, they're just squeezing so tight. Now it's mental and it's contagious, and it's just a team that I think they, you know, those are toughness things. You got to be mentally tough to step up there and make free throws and finish plays. And I think they just, they got to get to the point where they get back to that, because we all know that, you know, when they do that, they could beat anybody in the league and probably anybody in the country.
Kyle, who's the player or players that have not stepped forward this season that needed to or have yet to do it, in your view?
I think Kamani Lawrence is a guy that has the talent to do it, but I think he's got to do it more consistently. So,
what's his position when you see him? Is he a three? Is he a two? I mean, I look at Kamani Lawrence, and it's, what exactly is he on this team?
He's like a 2-3, you know.
Yeah.
He can play a little bit everywhere, but I think he's got to do a better job of, you know, just playing consistent and finding his spots and being aggressive. So,
the stuff with Remy, you mentioned his name earlier. Is he a true lead point guard, or is this a position that Bobby just doesn't have a floor general?
I just think Remy's got to be a guy that, you know, he's done a better job lately of picking his spots and seeing where, you know, where they need him. I think, you know, sometimes it's to score, sometimes it's to set up guys, but I think Remy's got to do a better job of just figuring out what his floor game's going to be each and every game. So, I got, Brad, I hate to do this to you. I got to run, so I don't want to hold up the bus. But
go get on the bus. See you, man. Thanks
all
for
right.
calling in.
You know how that goes.
Yeah,
thanks
I do.
Thanks so much, Brad.
See you. There's Kyle Dodd. He's got to take off and get on the bus, and I don't blame him. I wish he would have done the interview on the bus with Remy sitting right next to him, or Kamani Lawrence sitting right next to him. That would have been really fun. Good stuff. It's good they tracked him down. So ASU, they play at Utah. It's a weird deal. So they play last night in Colorado, and they've got to sit around in Salt Lake City for 2 days, and they don't play until Saturday night. You know, we talk about student athlete. Of course we do. It's a TV athlete. That's what it is. And then there's the other side of this is tonight U of A plays at Utah, so they can actually go watch if they wanted to. And U of A is not good, and Sean's got the Sharks really circling around him. And so it's interesting just what's going on in the conference. I don't know if this team's going to figure it out. Like I was telling Eric, we're going to get some sponsored stuff done, and we'll be in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament, and we'll go over and see the WAC play. There's times where I look at our state and think, yeah, we could have a really interesting March. And then there's other times where we're not going to have an interesting March at all. None of these teams can figure it out. So we'll have Goody at the Movies later in the show. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll have Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoons, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, coming up his weekly segment here in a few minutes. Goody wants to talk about Death Day to You and Kristen Sinema on SNL, and who knows where Bill's going to go today. It's always fun checking in with Bill. It's been 7 years of Bill and I doing this on Thursday, sports360az.com, Fox Sports Arizona, the Brad Sussmat Football AZ Show. Of course, all of our content is online at sports360az.com. We have this as our very first screen. This is where content is. If you're finding us for the very first time, thanks for being on board. This is where people are. Unfortunately, they're not in this anymore, reading newspapers. They are here. We appreciate you joining us. New York Times had a great piece today on high school football. Those that like it when we do a lot on recruiting. In this year, Ohio State is landing a quarterback, or has already landed a quarterback from Chaparral High School, like 5 miles from our studios. Pinnacle High, about 5 miles from our studios, their quarterback's going to Michigan. Both have already given verbal commitments. There's a quarterback over at Paradise Valley. Eric, that's like 5 miles from us too, and he's going to North Carolina State. There's a quarterback down in Gilbert who's committed to the U of A, to Kevin Sumlin. This is quarterback U out here. Last year, what did we have? 7, 8, 9 Division I quarterbacks that signed. This year at the Combine, N'Keal Harry is going to the Combine here in a couple of weeks. You have the receiver from NAU who's going to...
Emmanuel Butler. Ben Finley's older brother from
Ryan
North Carolina
Finley,
State.
That's right.
Also at the Combine.
So let's go through
some
this.
Guy named Byron Murphy, who's probably going to be a first-round pick.
So at the Combine, Eric, if we're talking about angles, Byron Murphy, top safety in the Pac-12 from Washington, right? Ryan Finley.
Cornerback, but yeah.
Corner, secondary.
Right.
Corner. Ryan Finley, quarterback from Paradise Valley High School. There's another Paradise Valley kid. Gerald Brown.
Jacob Brown. Okay, he's a corner.
He's a corner. He's going to the combine.
Yep. He's going to get drafted.
N'Keal Harry's going to the combine.
He'll probably get
Chandler
drafted.
High School. I'm thinking he's going to get drafted. So there's four.
There are more, but just off the top of my head, those are the ones that
U of A does not have anybody going that I saw on the list.
I don't think so.
To the combine. But NAU has one, which is a great story for NAU. So, you know, on the high school, and it's one of our biggest drivers here. You know, I can do Kevin Sumlin, and I can do Herm Edwards, and we can do the new coach at NAU, or, you know, what's going on if Case Keenum does come to the Cardinals, as it sounds like he's going to. That's all fine and good, but why do you care about the high school stuff? So this story in the New York Times today, front page piece, facing a significant decline in the number of student-athletes playing high school football, the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association on Wednesday adopted a new guideline to sharply reduce the amount of contact that is allowed in practices, and in doing so, address concerns about player safety. Here's where it's really interesting, and I wonder where the AIA comes down on this with all these kids, because we are a football state, that are playing. The new rules, which the association, reading from the New York Times, which the association said were the most restrictive in the country, limits the time that teams can engage in full contact drills in practices to just 15 minutes a week. That's down from 90 under the old rules. Preseason full contact drills, previously unlimited, will be reduced to 6 total hours, including scrimmages. So here's New Jersey that's stepping way out there, that is saying, we are the ones that are going to lead the way. We're going to be the ones that lead the charge. And we're going to reduce full contact down to 15 minutes from an hour and a half, like that. And we know that the concussion stuff has been out there. We know that the concussion stuff, there's all sorts of ways to slice and dice it. All I know is, on my view, and the doctors that we've had on through the years on this show, because we do care about the concussion issue. My daughter is studying it in college and just graduated with it, and she's going to go get her master's in it. There's guys I can't sit in this seat next to me to do shows anymore because they're former players and they're jacked up. They're messed up. And I'm not going to embarrass them by bringing them here in studio and they can't answer a question without having a long 20-second off in the gaze stare. It's not going to happen. The existing ban on full contact in spring and summer practices in New Jersey will remain in effect as well. So here in Arizona, people forget that we start high school, and I know this because I have four kids that have gone through three that have gone through high school, one that's going to be going through high school this year. We start high school the third week of July here in Arizona. We do. And when people say, no way, yeah, come on out to the Chandler School District on July 21st and school is in session. Not partly, and it's not football workouts. No, they're there for 0 hour taking biology and algebra. July 20th, July 21, they're also playing football, doing football workouts after the first week of school is complete. So they're out on the fields when it's 110 and when the humidity is just blazing. They're out there at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m. doing practices. So in our space, doing a lot around college recruiting and college football and high school too, along with the pro stuff. Eric, where do you think most of the coaches are? Because we talked to the highest end ones, the Jason Mons is at Saguaro, and when Sean Aguano was at Chandler. What do you think they'd come down on this?
Ooh, I think each one would have a different opinion. I think coaches love toughness,
yeah,
and they love to, especially in the off season, really work on the grind and the fundamentals and blocking and
getting your body in football shape,
endurance and things like
that.
Everything's changed with year round availability, so I don't even really know how the coaches would feel about the
who's
going to
monitor
contact.
This.
That's a great point, and it's just, we see it now, Brad, all the time between the 7-on-7s and all the passing leagues and things like that. There's so much participation.
Right.
Almost like too much participation. I mean, you talked about Jason Mons. Saguaro takes the month of January off, and then the players are back, and they're lifting and doing drills, and that's going to be like that all the way until their 2019 season ends, whenever it does. It's a long haul.
I don't mind the lifting. Like, I'll give you an example. Castile is probably where my son's going to go. And they do yoga and they do lifting. And there's all these D1 coaches that stop in out there. They had north of 60 Division I programs that were out there looking for programs, the players, rather. The quarterback at Castile, Mike Leach, came out, offered him. He's going to play for Mike Leach. He's not going to be on the field this year, a red shirt. Big kid, Gunnar Cruz. But he's going to play at Washington State. He'll probably play in the NFL. I think he's got that makeup about him. If a player, if a kid wants to get better, and if a coach wants to push that kid, and the only way a lineman can really get better is through contact, right?
Yes.
So what defines contact? I think this may sound crazy, but if you're a coach taking in this conversation, and if the AIA says, you know what, we're going to look at what New Jersey's doing, and that's usually what happens. It's a copycat industry. What will happen out here? I'm already concerned about the heat stuff because I see that with kids. Kids don't hydrate. Kids don't have two parents at home saying drink water. They get on the field, they drop. Shoot, that happens over at Arizona State when they go up to Camp Tanazona. There's times when they go to Camp Tanazona. There's times where players get dehydrated and don't feel well up there. But this is something to keep an eye on. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Yeah, hang on. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and unfortunately today it's the Suns still stink, and ASU just cannot get out of their own way, it's time for much happier news, and that is Bill Gutekunst. Bill is always happy and sunny, except when I read, and I referred to Bill's segment today as e-ticket, which I'm glad you recognize that not many of us know what e-ticket now means, but for those who don't, you could fill in the blank on that.
Yes, now they just charge you like a fortune to get in generally and let you wander around.
Back in the day at Disneyland, they would give you these tickets, and the best rides were e-tickets. And as Bill just pointed out, they do charge you like, I think it's like $120 a day for a day pass.
I think it went up.
Did it go up again? It was $120 when I was out there.
To pay for the new Marvel world or whatever.
Really?
Not that they needed any money helping pay for anything.
Speaking of social, I noticed that you're just sparring away with people that are pointing out things that you never wrote, you never said, and you're just, are you taking this stuff too personal or on Twitter? And it's just like, man, you're Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas in there.
Well, I think what I need to do a better job of is, and everybody should probably do this. I believe I was civil. I don't think I was, you know, that
you're always civil.
Anything like that. But you know, I looked at that person, and I know what you're talking about. This person, everything that I tweeted today, they were just on me, like, yeah, and this shows why you stink, and the Arizona Republic stinks, and the media stinks, and all that stuff. And I looked, and they have 8 followers, and I thought, well, you know, in the long run, maybe it's worth it. It may not be worth it to actually respond to this person. Maybe I should just, like, live my life. But I do think that it's not a bigger problem, but it's a bigger thing that people with media now, just if a story doesn't go the way they want it to go,
right,
they just say, oh, that's
wrong.
You should
You're
have
wrong.
A correction because you are wrong. And it's like, well, no, I mean, facts aren't opinions. I mean, we've talked about this before, but it's just to me, it's kind of a scary thing where it's like you're talking about ASU or the Suns. You know, what if they just decided, you know what, we refuse to recognize that we lost. We're not gonna. And this wouldn't surprise me with the Suns if they say, you know, we're not gonna really measure success by wins and losses anymore. We're gonna go with an alternative theory. You know?
Well, Robert's doing that. Robert's doing that with the Suns. He's not measuring by wins or losses. He's measuring by where the decimal point is in the bank account, and there he's winning. But you're right. You know, I understand the analogy. All right, let's get to the movies here. Death Day to You. You actually saw a movie this week, which is great.
I did.
Death Day to You. Tell me about this. Is it any good? Is it worth people seeing?
It's a sequel. I actually saw Happy Death Day, which was the original movie. And the original was one of those movies, and I think I wrote this. I mean, it succeeded largely in terms of like just rock bottom expectations. I mean, it's kind of like a Groundhog Day, except for this college girl. She wakes up in another guy's bed alone, in a dorm room every day, and she dies at the end of every day. Somebody kills her, and then she wakes up again, and she can't break this loop. And she realizes she's going to have to solve who her killer is to actually break the loop. So, you know, it was actually, it turned out to be pretty good, and she was really good because she didn't take it real seriously, and she was kind of funny. So, of course, I think they, it made like a ton of money on just a minuscule budget. So, of course, there's, you know, there had to be a sequel.
Right.
The sequel is just, is not as good. And this is one of the weird things. You don't see this too often in sequels. Sometimes you do, but not a movie like this. You have to have a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of the first movie to really understand what's going on in this one. And even though at one point she stops in the middle of what she's doing, she says, oh, okay, recap. And they do like flashbacks. But it's okay. And she's still really good again. I mean, some of the best parts of this movie are when she again wakes up in this guy's bed and just like the reactions on her face every day and what she does and what she says. But the original is definitely worth seeing. I would seek that out. You know, watch that instead. You can skip this.
Well, you can skip this. I'm watching it. It's creepy. Come on, Bill. This is your Halloween type movies. What is this doing on Valentine's Day? I'm not going to take my wife to see this.
Every creepy thing in the movie is in the trailer. It's not creepy. The actual movie isn't. That's one of the things. It's supposed to be this sort of scary, you know, it's kind of a somewhat funny horror movie.
Right.
But there's almost no horror. This is more of a science fiction kind of thing where they're trying to figure out why the things happened in the first movie. Like, why was she coming back? And it turns out there's a scientific explanation for it, which is, again, not quite as scary as, you know, just creepy stuff.
All right, before I get you out of here, I got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Kristen Sinema on SNL. What was your view on this, or the parody of her on SNL, I should say?
Oh, I just didn't think it was that funny. It was sort of low-hanging fruit. And it was a quick hit. The segment you're talking about was like the sort of Charlie's Angels-like segment where all the women or not all of them, but some of the higher-profile women in the Senate and Congress now are Charlie's Angels. And one of the things that didn't work about it was Charlie was Trump. And, you know, and the whole point of what they're doing is that Trump isn't really their boss. But Sinema was like she's bicameral, and then she's the first openly bisexual senator. And that's, you know, I didn't think that was particularly funny. But one of the things that's interesting, two things that are interesting, they all wore white, which was what they wore for, you know, in honor of the suffragist movement. Except Sinema did not wear white to the State of the Union address. She wore a pink dress. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it is interesting how much publicity Sinema is getting without really saying a lot or doing a lot. I mean, she's done a little bit that has drawn some note. But the difference in the amount of publicity and press that she's getting compared to Martha McSally is pretty amazing. I mean, she was on the cover of a New York Times special section for women in Congress. I mean, she was the cover, you know, and it's pretty striking.
No, it really is. I did not know about the New York Times cover for her, but she does feel like she is everywhere. I don't know if she's got a firm pushing her out there, or it's just there's something different about her. I mean, if it's the sexuality issue, then that's all they're grabbing onto. I mean, come on.
But it's not, you know. I mean, for all the other stuff, it's just sort of her being her. But and it's sort of in a low-key way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like she's saying these outrageous things or anything. She's just sort of, there she is again. It's interesting.
I'll let you go off that. Have a good week. Thanks.
All right.
It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody-Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. First time I told Eric we're going to have Bill Goody-Kuntz on, we did the segment. Eric looked at me like, you've got to be drinking. I said, no, he's got stuff. It's not the usual stuff. It's just the stuff, and we've been doing it for all these years. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Devin is into the sport of speed, and it's Daytona week. So hopefully on the site, he's put some stuff up on the site on the sport of speed from yesterday you can check out. Hopefully there's something Daytona that he sees with NASCAR, and that's his passion. Eric's been out the Cardinals last couple of days. Of course, he did a terrific piece on South Point being a destination for how many coaches have stopped by there, Eric, for the – because they've got like the top running back in the country. They've got the top corner. Harbaugh was there a couple weeks ago.
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly was there a
couple
weeks
ago. Coach Dave from Ohio State. Herm Edwards.
Head coach of Ohio State, yeah. Herm stopped in.
Texas has been there. Dozens of, I would say, two dozen major colleges have been there the last few weeks.
So all the college football heavies are stopping in Tucson.
Which is a rarity.
Which
that
is more than a rarity.
Doesn't happen. But when you see the four prospects that South Point has, there's a reason why all these coaches are either flying into Phoenix and driving to Tucson or just flying straight to Tucson.
That's good stuff. Appreciate your work as always. That's our show for today. This will repeat for the next 24 hours. Plenty of content up on the website, sports360az.com. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, before and after the Coyotes. Four airings, two before, two after, of the Brad Sismat Football AZ Show. Kurt Warner is our guest. We will also focus in on the hot shots a little bit and whether this league is going to make it or not. Have yourself a great day.